Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
On the Rainbow Soul channel at BlakeRadio.com. As always, please be sure to get your free report, Natural Lemonade So Powerful They Could Make Antibiotics Obsolete. And you can get that by entering your email address at vitalitycapsules.com. Okay, tonight's topic is diet and arthritis. As many of you listeners know, I went to medical school, and in medical school, we were taught that there is no association at all between diet and arthritis. So when people tell you that they think their arthritis is affected by food, don't you believe it. Yep, that's what we were told. We were told there's absolutely no association whatever. And so today's guest is Gary Null, and he's going to talk to us about his book, Reverse Arthritis and Pain Naturally. Yes, it can be done naturally. So while I'm waiting for Gary Null to show up and press his button there, I'll tell you about Gary Null. Gary Null is a pioneer in natural healing. He got started many, many decades ago and really kind of paved the way for much of the natural healing movement, and speaking out about, I guess what you could call the inconsistencies of the healthcare system, how it presents itself as a system of healing when actually the success rates are rather low and the harm rates are rather high. And he's written several books. And lately, he's been doing quite a few very nice movie productions that really bring out the facts about modern medicine. And the facts about modern medicine, I think, are really just absolutely striking and astounding. I've mentioned his previous book before, and his research in documenting the number of deaths caused by medicine. Remember, he comes up with 700,000, more or less. And my rather conservative number is 867,000. Again, you have to say more or less, because a lot of deaths are not counted in that figure. For example, the Medicare Inspector General admits to 180,000 Medicare deaths every year that Medicare pays for, and that people and doctors and hospitals are reimbursed for providing this care. And so it's something that the government is aware of, many institutions are aware of, and anyone who takes a look, however cursory or brief, finds there are a tremendous number of deaths from something that we are led to believe is helpful and beneficial. In fact, if there are this many deaths from car accidents, I fully believe that cars would be banned. And so it's really important for us to talk about these things. We don't see where Gary Null has joined us yet. So what I'll do is I'm just going to go ahead and talk about his book, an interesting part of the book. I think it's the nice thing about the book is he presents a very kind of open-minded approach to diet. And what that indicates to me is what I've always suspected. There's more than one road leading to Rome, more than one way to heal. For example, there's some very nice recipes in the book, and they have quite a few ingredients in them. And my philosophy about recipes and healing with diet is that recipes are basically guidelines. And so if you see a healing recipe, and you will get most, but not all, the ingredients, then go ahead and make the recipe anyway. With healing recipes or recipes that reverse disease, usually every single element or ingredient in the recipe is actually beneficial. And so it makes sense then to make the recipe even though you don't have all the ingredients, because you would have benefit from the recipe and with the healing. Now, the other thing in his book, I read the book, is that he mentions the dangers of arthritis drugs. And he mentions the figure of 15,000 deaths from aspirin and ibuprofen in a year. And this is actually a very generous estimate on his part, because the industry itself, I say the industry, I mean pharmaceutical companies that manufacture arthritis drugs, actually confessed to a number of closer to 17,000 deaths per year. How do I know this? I know this because this number was offered to the public when VX and Celebrex were launched as a force of justification for launching VX and Celebrex, that we actually need safer drugs for arthritis. And that's why VX and Celebrex, even though the amount of pain relief they provided is very comparable to ibuprofen, was needed. And so what actually happened was that the deaths from the newly introduced drugs far exceeded deaths from existing drugs. So it was absolutely shocking that first of all, that there are 17,000 deaths a year from drugs that we generally accepted as safe. That's more deaths per year, by the way, than from HIV/AIDS. And these deaths were treated so casually. Of course, they were denied until there was a need to launch or desire to launch Celebrex and Viatris. And then what happened was the drugs that were launched to replace these commonly used drugs were even more dangerous. Depending on whose numbers you look at, the number of heart attack deaths from VS was in the neighborhood of 138,000, and those deaths were deaths by heart attack. And of course, those heart attack deaths were counted in the statistics as heart deaths that need to be treated by cholesterol drugs and all kinds of other means and measures, because there is no category in the United States statistical of death. There is no category for deaths caused by drugs. There's no category for deaths caused by medicine. So every time a person dies as a result of medical therapy, that death is attributed to another cause. Notice it's attributed to heart disease and coronary artery disease and circulation problems, or it's attributed to maybe alcohol intake. So it's always attributed to something else. It's not the same thing is that a cause of mortality or death, which is so vast, encompassing several hundred thousand deaths per year, is actually does not receive a category of its own in the vital statistics kept by the USDA, I call them the .gov people because the website sponsored by the government and have .gov in there. And so the fact that these drugs are so dangerous and the fact that so many people die of these drugs when they're trying to treat a condition, which is arthritis, that inherently is not deadly, is a tragedy. Because if you have a condition which is not deadly, or in this case arthritis, then it makes no sense to treat it with drugs that are deadly. And in Gary Noel's book, he talks about drugs, talks about injections, he talks about surgery in terms of knee replacement, various joint replacements. So all of these things, people die from. People die from surgical complications. They die from blood clots in the calf or in the lungs. They die from hospital-acquired infection. And they die from, as a complication of their routine preoperative antibiotics. It's shocking and it's horrifying that in this modern time, people are still getting something called routine preoperative antibiotics when we know this causes C. difficile infection, we know this causes MRSA, and we know it leads to death. Again, for a condition, arthritis is not deadly. Now, I just want to share with you that perspective on arthritis in medical school is don't worry, everyone's going to get arthritis. And you should plan for arthritis. And the way you plan for arthritis, of course, is, you know, you make sure you earn enough money so you can put in a little elevator and your stairs, a little seat in it that'll take you up and down the stairs, because you're going to have to stop using stairs because you're going to get arthritis. And so it's something that needs to be expected. And we're even trained in medical school to understand that the way arthritis would show up is you would wake up in the morning with aches and pains. And these aches and pains would last longer and longer and longer. And at first they would last 5 minutes, then 10, then 20, and then 30 minutes. And once your morning joint pain lasted more than 30 minutes, then you have the diagnosis of arthritis. And we were given all kinds of elegant descriptions. Oh, it could be one joint, many joints, both similar joints, like both knees or just one knee, or it could be just the fingertips and toes, or it could be the bigger joints. And we were given all kinds of categories to slice and dice and describe arthritis. But what I really like in Gary Noel's book, Reverse Arthritis and Pain Naturally, is that he spares you the agony of this hair splitting, which is classifying the arthritis because it's really not necessary. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Ask your question. Elsa.
Yes, me?
Yes, you're on the air.
About arthritis?
Yes, what's the question?
Ask whatever question you have. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I just want to know about arthritis. Does it help if you simply change your diet?
Okay. That's a good question. I'll answer that off the air. Diet is a very important part of healing arthritis. It's been my experience that diet alone does not heal arthritis. And Gary Noel mentioned that in his book. He mentions that cleansing, and that's a euphemism for having more bowel movements. And this is something in the United States that's not talked about very often, which is bowel movements. But if you have arthritis, you have active pain, then you definitely want to have 3, 4, or maybe even 5 bowel movements a day. And you will actually begin to notice that each time you have a bowel movement, your pain either goes away or drops down 2 or 3 notches. You just cannot underestimate the importance of cleansing. Cleansing means drinking water, because your body uses water to cleanse your joints. And cleansing means having bowel movements, which means getting the waste out of your intestines. Once you get the waste out of your intestines, your body actually sends deputies of your immune system to the joints to clean junk out of the joints, and that reduces your pain. This is why it makes no sense to categorize joint pain according to the size of joints involved, the location of joints involved, because it all comes down to simply your immune system making an administrative decision that it's going to store a portion of the feces remaining in your intestines, in your joints, instead of leaving them in your intestines. And that's the plain truth of it. So cleansing is also part of it. But if you cleanse and you don't pay attention to your diet, then the pain will stay around, because a large part of the impurities that are stored in the joints is the fact that the diet is filled with chemicals and filled with impurities. So you have to do both. You have to cleanse and you have to do diet. The diet is such a huge part, because without the diet, without changing your diet, it's almost impossible to get rid of arthritis. I say almost. Some people have a milder case than others. Also, some people are very active and they perspire a lot, and the body can get rid of these joint impurities through the skin. But most people, they've got to move those bowels and they've got to get that waste out. It's, of course, frankly, the mentioning vitality capsules. Vitality capsules, many of you know, are presently out of stock, but will be back in stock April 27th, and we'll ship them. I'm very excited to be able to report that. I am communicating with the manufacturer every single day, and at the moment, we are on schedule and may even get the vitality capsules early. So, yes, vitality capsules and cleansing are also a very important part of your arthritis, natural arthritis healing program. And you can check those out at vitalitycapsules.com. So it's important to not have impurities in your diet. And most people are not aware of what impurities are. And so it's really easier to have a book that just gives you a list of recipes and lists of ingredients in the book. And so you can just very simply use those ingredients and say, okay, got the bases covered, and this is what I'm going to do, and it makes it so much simpler. Whereas if you get a list, if you get a a list where you have to go and seek out and find the right type of food without specific direction as to what you should be eating or not eating, it's very difficult, it's very confusing. Someone can tell you you should be eating organic, locally grown, non-GMO, food without, of course, pesticides or herbicides or preservatives or coloring or additives or artificial flavoring. And so if someone gives you a list like that, basically 9 don't do it, then it's almost impossible to put together a diet that's going to be healing. Well, on the other hand, if you have a list of foods that are going to heal you, they're all going to be helpful, and they're put in a recipe for, that makes it incredibly easier. So when Gary Null joins us, I hope he'll push his button, which is, I think, 1, and then we can have him join the conversation. So this makes it really, really important. Now, the other thing that's mentioned in the book, it's not addressed in the book, but mentioned, is exercise. Role of exercise and what kind would be reasonable to do. When Gary joins us, he can give his opinion on it. But one thing that happens with arthritis, if you see a doctor about arthritis, and I went to medical school, but I can tell you what they tell doctors in the school hasn't changed in 30 years. If a person has arthritis, the person should restrict and limit their activities so that they can be pain-free. So if it hurts, don't do it. That's the mantra. If it hurts, don't do it. So doctors tell patients to limit their activities, to take pills, the pills don't work. They inject in the shots, and the shots are pretty standard. We're talking about steroid shots that actually dissolve the joint and deteriorate the joint and move the person closer to the next step, of course, which is surgery and joint replacement. So this is what doctors recommend, and it's kind of a relenting progression of reduce your activity, take pills, reduce your activity more because you're getting side effects from pills, get shots, the shots deteriorate the joint more, and then, of course, get surgery to replace the joint, and hopefully, cross your fingers, you'll be pain-free, and you'll be able to resume some activity, but you'll never get back to the level of activity you had before the arthritis. And so the beauty of natural healing, or healing with diet, cleansing, and moderate exercise, is you can actually get back to the level of activity you enjoyed before you had the arthritis, and in many cases, even exceed that. It's really shocking. It's absolutely, as little kids would say, awesome. I'm old enough to call people 3 under kids. So what kind of exercise should you do? For joint or arthritis problems, I always recommend range of motion. In other words, move those joints, keep those joints moving. Do not let them freeze up. So keep moving the joints. When you move your joints, it tells your immune system, hey, this joint is important, this joint is being used. Do not store more weight here. So, but when you rest the joints, which is what we doctors are advised to tell people, to rest those achy joints, then the joint freezes up. The immune system says, aha, this joint is not being used. Let me store even more chemicals, even more poisons, even more toxins in the joint. The first thing is range of motion, not necessarily weight-bearing, depending on how much pain you do or don't have or where you're at. But definitely keep those joints moving. Do not stop moving the joints. Now, you can do certain, I like Qigong exercises better for arthritis because they have some very nice twisting exercises where every single joint in the body is moved through a range of motion in a matter of 15 seconds without much difficulty. So I like gentle Qigong exercises, some of the medium to severe arthritis. But what if, A, you're trying to prevent arthritis, or B, you're very early on in arthritis? If you're trying to prevent arthritis, then remain active. Your full activity level, whatever it is, keep doing it. And definitely, I would say, take up a sport. If you're not, if you have a sedentary job, if you do things like riding cars and sit in chairs and things like that much of the day, then take up a hobby, which is a sport. That would be something like tennis or hiking, anything physical that requires you to use your body. That's, if you don't have arthritis, definitely do that. If you have mild arthritis, where it's just, it's like they explained in the medical school, it's just a little twinge in the morning, you're kind of aware of it, and the rest of the day is really okay, then that's really not okay. You definitely need to address that. And if you have that level of arthritis, usually that will respond to eating vitality capsules alone or diet alone, which is very nice. I would recommend if you have arthritis, aches, or pains of any kind, definitely don't tolerate it. If it's a mild type of arthritis, don't say, oh, it'll go away, or, oh, I can handle it, or I don't mind the pain. No. That's when it's time to increase your water intake, definitely maintain your activity, and you will find relief with dietary changes, and reverse arthritis and pain naturally is a very good book by Gary Null. And I have recipes for healing on my website at vitalitycapsules.com as well. So definitely, access that part. So your doctor's advice that they give you for arthritis, if you do exactly the opposite of everything your doctor tells you for arthritis, chances are outstanding that you will heal very nicely. The other question I had, of course, for Gary Null was what did he observe to be the dangers of these arthritis drugs? And he's just not here. I'll answer the question with my opinion. The dangers of these arthritis drugs are numerous. First of all, they divert your attention from the real problem. So what your arthritis drugs do is keep you from actually solving your real problem, which is that your immune system has decided that your joints are a perfect storage place for waste products. So, one, they distract you from ever solving the problem. Next problem with the arthritis drugs, they create problems of their own. Every single arthritis drug has been found to cause intestinal bleeding, heart attack of all things. Some of them also cause kidney failure and need for dialysis. As if arthritis was not enough trouble, as if a person would need to add intestinal bleeding, heart attack, and kidney failure to the already troubling problem of arthritis. So the problem with the drugs is that they give you first, they keep you from solving your problem you already have. Then they give you more problems. And finally, the non-steroids interfere with healing. They interfere with the cyclooxygenase pathway. And the cyclooxygenase pathway makes prostaglandins. Some prostaglandins cause inflammation, but other prostaglandins cause healing. And so what it does is it cuts off both prostaglandins. And so it interferes with your body's ability to even heal the arthritis, allowing the arthritis to help you progress. And then if you're taking the shots for your arthritis, the steroid shots, they actually deteriorate the joints, crumble the bone, and again, accelerate you on your path to getting and needing that joint replacement. And in medical school, it's almost as if we are taught that each arthritic patient must be taken to completion, that would be a joint replacement. So first you have an arthritis patient, you give them advice, he follows your advice, he takes pills, you give them more pills, you give them injections, and then surgery. And it's almost like a continuum. And the way it's taught to us, we're actually escorting these patients along the path to the surgeon's knife where their problems will be ultimately solved. This is what we're taught in medical school, but nothing could be further from the truth. Why? How do we know this? Because now a whole new industry has sprung up, and the new industry is revising, replacing, and fixing joint replacements that have already been done. And so if the first joint replacement works, why is it being revised, replaced, and fixed? The answer is they're not working. These joint replacements are actually failing. And so what's happening is doctors and the medical industry are actually failing these arthritis patients, are escorting them to a path of increased expense, increased suffering, increased torture, increased disease, and disappointment by the lack of success. And so we have a question. Hi, you're on the air?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, I was wondering, is there any relationship between trigger finger and arthritis? Does, like, trigger finger a precursor of arthritis or not?
Okay. Okay, I got it. Actually, trigger finger is, strictly speaking, to be considered to be a form of arthritis. What happens with trigger finger is the tendon passes under a sheath or a band. And so because that band is there, that band allows the finger to bend. It acts like a pulley, or it makes the pulley work. And so when the immune system puts waste deposits around that band, it traps the tendon. The tendon sticks, and the tendon actually gets glued to that band in one position. And it's called a trigger finger because it causes the finger to be frozen in a bent position like this one, the trigger. And so the solution to trigger finger is very similar to the solution to arthritis. And it can be found with diet and with cleansing. And again, that's for medium moderate. So I'm guessing, hopefully, the trigger finger you're describing is one that you can still straighten, but it gets stuck. And that kind of trigger finger is one that can really benefit from natural healing. And what you do is definitely change your diet. You've got to change your diet. And Perinol recommends, Dr. Null recommends a vegetarian diet, I definitely agree. If you have arthritis of any kind, a vegetarian diet, in fact, you may want to go all the way to vegan. If you're, you know, if you want results quick, and people look at that and results with a vegan diet, again, vegan whole food diet, in as little as 48 to 72 hours. It's really very dramatic. Now, the other thing you can do to speed things up is you can put castor oil along that finger and the palm of that particular hand. What that's going to do is the castor oil will actually liberate, loosen up the debris that your immune system has stored there, and help free up that trigger finger and make it so you can move it more smoothly. And of course, you have to keep that finger moving. So the medical advice, which is decrease your activity, is really not useful information. And I can tell you, when I was in medical practice, before medical practice, when I was in medical school, I was absolutely stunned and dumbfounded at the absolutely awful results we were getting with these arthritis patients. You know, first we have arthritis clinic in medical school. So all the people have arthritis go to the same place at the same time, and they were seen one at a time, so the wait times of like 3 to 2 months. And so these people were coming, they were getting these drugs. So the doctor was prescribing these drugs with the utmost confidence and assurance. And I noticed they always reached for the most recent drug, the newest drug out there, which of course would lead you to believe, and it was true, and you really hadn't experienced much success with the older drug. So the doctor would always prescribe the newest drug, the drug review they just left, prescribe the newest drug with great confidence, great reassurance to the patient. And then, of course, the patient would come back. Oh, my gosh, woe is me. The drug didn't work. And we would all act surprised and shocked. But of course, I was medical student, so I was new to this. I really was surprised and shocked. Of course, the doctor was not surprised and shocked because, well, nothing he'd done before had ever worked, so what the heck? But we would pretend to be surprised and shocked. The patient would be given drug after drug after drug. And he was always assured that studies had shown that all of these drugs had been helpful to some people. And all we doctors had to do was find which drug would be helpful to him, that individual patient. And of course, that was a tragic misrepresentation. And so we would give, so looking at this arthritis clinic, I would see people at the early stages of arthritis. And sometimes very early stages. They could take a pill and they would be fine for a while and they would be back in 3 to 6 months because they only got worse. Then they would be getting shots and injections. And then there's another group of people who were using drug number 6, so to speak, you know, just rotating through different drugs. And finally, they met all the criteria for surgery. And they're like, okay, Ms. Jones, you qualify for surgery. And we treat it like the patient had just been admitted to an exclusive club, the surgery club. And I looked at the surgery, and the surgery is, you know, you look at it, it's pretty gruesome. The people, let's say the hand surgery, they have, with all these cuts all over them and these steel rods poking through their fingers and immobilized and all these contraptions. And so it's treated in this way that each stage, each progression of the disease is treated with cheers and hand claps, and you tell the patient, great, you qualify for the next phase. Okay, the pill didn't work. You're qualified for shots. You're even stronger. Oh, my God, the shots didn't work. Now you're qualified for surgery. It's even more robust. Oh, my God, great, you have surgery. And then when they get the surgery, and if they still complain, they're a bad person. It's the patient's fault. The patient didn't do something right. And so these arthritis drugs are very dangerous. These arthritis surgeries are very dangerous. And if you look at the patients receiving them, there is little evidence that these interventions are effective. And of course, the telltale sign of an ineffective intervention is an intervention that has a follow-up. Is this a quote? You know, it's like hush, little baby, don't you cry. You know, if this doesn't work, I'm going to give you that. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to give you that. Well, the fact that there's such an ingrained backup plan for the drugs not working suggests that, well, they were never going to work. And, of course, everybody except the patient knew that. And so it's a very sad process. For me, observing it in medical school, and after going through this in medical school and watching these drugs fail to relieve pain, and then eventually, of course, you can turn the person into a narcotic addict if, as a doctor, you're so inclined. So when I had the practice, I was very light on the drugs for arthritis. And, of course, you always get to witness a few people who bleed to death from their drugs. I'll never forget one patient had arthritis, and the doctor gave her a bunch of Motrin samples, and he gave her a prescription as well. And so, of course, she thought these were just perfectly safe drugs, and she just figured these are pain relievers, so you just take them until the pain is gone, which is what she did. And, of course, she started pouring blood out through her bottom end. And she passed out. She was admitted to the hospital where they pumped in many, many units of blood. I think maybe 6 to 8 units of blood is what she got. And so she woke up the next day. And I was a resident. So I was low man of totem pole, which meant that the patients got to talk to me. And so the patient asked me, after all the important doctors had left, I said, "Doctor, what happened? What exactly happened?" But she still had no idea. She was admitted to the hospital. She took all this motion. She was admitted to the hospital, transfused many units of blood, and she still did not know what happened. She wanted to know exactly what happened. That's what I told her. I said, "Well, in other circles, we would call this a suicide attempt." And she said, "What? I'm not suicidal." I said, "Yes, a suicide attempt." I explained to her that she overdosed herself on Motrin, and that's exactly what happened. And so here was this patient who had actually violent arthritis, who had overdosed on her drug, was admitted for that, was treated for that, and never told that what she suffered from was basically a drug overdose, even an unintentional one. So the other thing is, what causes arthritis? Dr. Noll has a few theories of his own about what causes arthritis. I have to say, I agree with that. And it's a lifestyle thing. And the thing that seems to cause arthritis is the change, as Gary Noll would say, from agricultural society to industrial society. And this change, on many levels, has caused the epidemic of arthritis, the sickness of arthritis. First of all, people are no longer raising their own food. So the food is being raised by people that the consumer has never met. People who are filling the food with chemicals that are causing arthritis and causing disease. Now, you can justify this by saying these chemicals help transport the food for longer distances. You can say that the chemicals in the food make the food perish, less perishable. All kinds of excuses and reasons for these chemicals in the food. But because it is not an agricultural society, most people are not engaged in growing their own food. This means that they don't have the power over their food supply, the power to make their food chemical free. And so most people are purchasing their food from an unsafe, unclean source that has contaminated the food with poisons and with chemicals that then become stored in the joint and then cause arthritis. So that's one piece of the change from agricultural to industrial society. The other reason that changing from agricultural to industrial society has caused arthritis is because now we don't use our joints. Because of the sitting in chairs, sitting in cars, basic immobility, self-imposed immobility, joints are freezing up. Not only joints are freezing up, but the immune system is saying, "Oh, the person hasn't used this joint in several days. It must be okay to store chemicals here." And also all the sitting causes constipation. Causes the bowels not to move, which means the waste is not removed from the body until it gets stored in the joints. And so this causes a real problem and causes arthritis. And so changing from agriculture to industrial and not raising our own food. When I say our own food, I mean each individual family unit or two or three family unit engaged in raising food that they eat. And second, not using our joints because of the mechanized society causes waste accumulation via constipation, and that waste is put into our joints which are not being used. And so it's really totally a lifestyle issue. And I also want to ask Dr. Mel, because when he shows up, let us know, what time frame he feels people should expect to see results by following an arthritic diet. And I would like to say I've seen people get results by following an arthritic diet a couple of times in as little as 24 hours. I mean, it's that dramatic. It is something you absolutely should not pass up, which is the opportunity to heal your arthritis with cleansing and diet. It's almost a no-brainer because it has such possibility to restore you, has such possibility to restore you to full health. And whereas no medical therapy does, there is no medical therapy for arthritis that restores the person to their pre-arthritic state. And that's the truth. And if you ask any doctor, he will tell you that. Even as you look the doctor in the eye, he's getting ready to cut you out, cut you up, and give you a knee. You look in the eye and say, doctor, will I be able to do everything with this knee that I was able to do before I had arthritis? The doctor will tell you absolutely not. He'll tell you you can't do lateral movements, you can't do this, you can't do that, get a high cord, see, you don't want to dislocate. The list of caveats and warnings is daunting. And you say, well, excuse me, doctor, I thought this surgery was supposed to be the answer. He says, well, it's the answer, but it's not going to solve your problem. Sort through that one. So healing your arthritis with diet and cleansing is definitely a no-brainer. You can get Dr. Mull's book, Reverse Arthritis and Pain Naturally, or you go to my website and get the recipes for healing books, and you can get some vitality capsules and just really flesh yourself out. There are different strategies. Some people take vitality capsules every single day. That's okay. But again, there's a lifestyle issue here. Some people just can't get away to go to the bathroom that often. So most people can just take a dose on weekends and just poop more often on weekends to make up for the time during the week where they weren't able to use the potty, so to speak. Okay, we have a question. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, do you have a question?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. I run into a lot of people that will say that my meniscus in my knee is completely gone and it's bone on bone. They seem very enamored of their bone on bone, like they'd kind of like to try something, but they feel that there's absolutely nothing that can be done. Is there any way to rebuild that? And is the pain especially associated with not having a meniscus anyway?
Okay, I'll answer that question. Well, first of all, everyone has born with a meniscus. This bone-on-bone, if you think about it, and I hate to get graphic about this, but it's really kind of like a sexual connotation, you know, bone-on-bone, one-on-one. You know, it's a marketing concept. So bone-on-bone means that the cartilage is probably gone. This is gone. How do you build it back? First of all, diet is critical. As long as you're eating a chemical-filled diet, you will always have, the meniscus will not go back. So you have to stop your chemical-filled diet, number one. Number two, of course, cleansing. That helps. But now you still got bone on bone, but you build it with gelatin. And gelatin is something you can buy, comes in granulated form. Or if you do it the old-fashioned way, which is simply go to the store and get a bunch of bones and boil them at least overnight. A little bit of salt, a pinch of vinegar in there, a splash is more about a teaspoon. And what it does, it will demineralize the bone, and it will also pull the gelatin out of the bone. And when you drink this, you have these minerals and you have the gelatin building blocks, and your body builds you a new ministry. And that's what you do for bone and bone. But you're correct. Many people will say very proudly, I have bone on bone arthritis. And so what that means is that they have fallen prey to the marketing and advertising hype. The whole progress of the system, which is, one, you have arthritis. Two, you now qualify for the next level. Wow, now you qualify for this. Oh, boy, you picked the slam mark. Oh, yeah. You know, and on until, of course, the ultimate at the moment, which is surgery. And so when people are caught up in the marketing hype, identifying themselves by their disease, of being very proud and happy with bone on bone, I think it's important to let them enjoy themselves and enjoy that aspect of their condition. I think the way to handle it, you have aches and pains, to remedy your aches and pains naturally with diet, and people will see you as an example and say, oh my God, you were lifting last week. What happened? And I think that way, good health can actually become contagious. And that's really the name of the game, which is to heal yourself, be an example, and with that example, other people will have the courage to heal themselves. I would like to say, in my family, it took people 20 years to decide, after seeing me survive being a vegetarian, that maybe they would become vegetarian. In fact, they really just eat more vegetables, and which they did, and they felt a lot better. So the best thing is not to concern yourself with people who have views that are not consistent with their healing. And then that's their choice not to heal, and that's okay. But you don't have to have that choice for your own life. And you don't have to argue with them and create lack of happiness in both lives. Only thing worse than being sick is being unhappy. That's what I say. So you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul channel at BlakeRadio.com. And as I mentioned before, be sure to get your free report, Natural Remedies, so powerful. They could make antibiotics obsolete. And you can enter your email address at vitalitycapsules.com. Okay. And so let's talk about other aspects that Gary Noel mentioned in this book, which is people want the magic bullet, and they're not aware of the dangers and false security it provides. Right. People actually believe there's a magic bullet out there. And we doctors are given the impression, we're actually taught, that each drug can be a magic bullet for each patient we see. And so we should not withhold what could be the key to the patient's relief. And you can see this whole gambler's mentality here, you know, where here's the doctor, he's got a handful of cards, he's going to bet heavy, he's going to shoot the moon on what? On the patient's budget and the patient's body and the patient's possibly dying from side effects. And so we have a system that trains the doctor to be very loose and free gambling with the patient's well-being. And so we doctors are taught that we have to stick to the standard of care. We have to offer each and every drug, even though there's little possibility of any one particular drug being helpful. And then ultimately we have to offer the final sacrifice, which of course is surgery. And so I think for as human beings, we have to not fall for the hype. We have to realize there's no magic bullet in your personal love life, there's no magic bullet in your finances, and there's no magic bullet when it comes to arthritis. However, there is a magic approach, and the magic approach is diet. And it is literally darn near magical. And people are so shocked when they actually adopt a healing diet that I've had people adopt a healing diet, eradicate their arthritis, and say, oh, it's so simple. It's just a diet problem. Well, I'll go back to having arthritis because now I know I can fix it any time by just changing my diet. which of course is, you would never expect that. I would have thought that the person would say, oh my gosh, I'm able to fix this. This is so great. Why even tolerate or put up with these problems? And so if people have questions, they can just call in, or if you're already called in, just click your button. All right, so we have a question in the chat room. Does the healing diet include vitamin supplements? That is very interesting, very, very interesting. When I work with people who have arthritis, I do use supplements. And I usually use supplements to help the liver and supplements that provide nutrition and nutrients the body cannot make for itself. Now, if you look at Dr. Gary Mell's book, he has got an impressive list of supplements. I mean, as the kids would say, awesome. And so I'm deducing, in the absence of his appearance, that the herbs that he is mentioning, six pages of them, he uses with such frequency and in such number because the diet that he recommends is so liberal. So he recommends white willow bark, turmeric, nettles, ginseng, devil's claw, comfrey, cat's claw, cayenne, boswellia, aloe vera, probiotics, quercetin, SAMI, superoxide dismutase, vitamin K, MSM, hyaluronic acid, eicosanol, bromelain, minerals, B complex, omega-3 fatty acids, nicotinamide, grapeseed extract, glucosamine, GLA, that's gamma linoleic acid, chondroitin sulfate, and that's it. That's 14 pages of supplements, and of course alfalfa. So, what's the take home message here? And it's actually a long list. Even longer this. The take-home message is this. If you have a more liberal diet, then you're going to need more herbs and more supplements. For example, Gary Mell allows tofu, which is soy, angel hair pasta, which is wheat, and parmesan cheese, which is dairy. And so apparently, those three things in the mix, this longer list is necessary. I would say about two-thirds of these things I don't bother to recommend. Because if you're willing to, bite the bullet, so to speak, and go, take the next step and be more strict with your diet, then I believe you'll have much less of a need for supplements of any kind. And so this is a very long and impressive list. Now, I would like to say that there's an issue with people who are strictly vegan. What's a strict vegan? A strict vegan is someone who does not take supplements that are of animal origin. And so what's animal origin? Animal origin would be fish, for example. Other animal origin, I think, bacteria or animal. I think bacteria are organisms. And so if you have something that's of bacterial origin, then vegans wouldn't eat that. And so this, of course, calls into question the whole probiotic issue with vegans, and then the whole chondroitin sulfate, because there's no such thing as a vegetarian source of chondroitin sulfate, if you're even definitely self-trusted. But so gelatin subsumes your glucosamine chondroitin thing, because basically what you've done is you've just taken the animal, grilled up its innards with the bones, and you've extracted this glucosamine, this chondroitin sulfate, this hyaluronic acid. All these components are subsumed in this one food, which is gelatin. And so that makes it a lot easier. Okay, so we answered the supplements issue. So what do I recommend? I usually recommend that people take vitamins A, C, E, selenium, B-complex vitamins, minerals, high-dose vitamin C, and some herbs from the liver like actually, milk thistle, usually I don't have to go any further than that, but you can go further. You can take CoQ10, you can take alpha-lipoic acid, all kinds of, you can go further down that road, so to speak. But generally, once you adjust your diet, there's a lot you don't have to do. So if you're willing to go the next step, addition to being vegan, to remove your dairy, remove your wheat, and you're going to get a lot more mileage with a lot fewer supplements and a lot less expense. Oh, and soy, by the way, because you remove that too. So those things definitely, it makes a difference how far you're going to go with your diet. I recommend that people go all the way. Now, I do have long-term follow-up with more than 20 years of patients that I helped cure their arthritis with diet in my medical practice. And the feedback I'm getting is 20 years down the road. And what they've been able to do is they've been able to add wheat back to their diet. And as long as they continue their cleansing and some nutritional supplementation, actually not very much, their arthritis has stayed at bay and has not recurred. So if people have an issue with being vegan, let's call it that, they need to realize that it might be, it likely is, a temporary issue. Now, I have also long-term follow-up with many patients now, and some have relapsed into having arthritis because not only did they go back to eating occasional meat, but they also went back to, I call them candy bars. At the health food store, they might call them superfood bars or concentrated food bars. So all of these things, again, you have to pay attention. Junk food is junk, even if it's organic. And your body builds arthritis from junk. And so this, for many people, is a big, big hurdle to breach, which is that they don't, just because it's labeled healthy, just because it's labeled organic, doesn't mean that it's healthy or organic. And so you have to just realize that the marketing department does the labeling. Not anyone is worried about health. And a person asked about fat-soluble B vitamins. I'm aware of water-soluble B vitamins. Now, when they label vitamins, it was vitamin A, and so, oh, it's another vitamin, and they gave it a B, and then they started numbering the Bs because they didn't want to run out of letters in the alphabet. And so most B vitamins are water-soluble. I personally think if a vitamin is fat-soluble, it should not be labeled a B vitamin. Why? Because you put vitamins in categories to donate or to communicate certain similarity in properties. Okay, we have a question. Okay, so let's talk about, okay, we have a topic for next week. Next week's topic, oh my God, this is a doozy. Next week, I'm going to talk about medicines that are proven ineffective. Yes, proven ineffective. Did you know that drug companies are marketing medications that by their own studies have been proven to be ineffective in providing relief or benefit to patients? And it even says so in the package insert that this medicine is proven to be ineffective. So next week, I'm going to cover such medicines that have been proven to be ineffective. And one more quick question. Yeah. And I think that's it for the... Oh, is there one more question? I think there's one more question. Hello, you're on the air? Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
I don't know if you can hear me. Hello.
Yes,
yeah,
I can.
My question,
yes.
My question is about kidney function, how that would be related to like arthritis and things like that. Do you have things in your diet specifically that would reverse things like low urine output, any other problems with the kidney?
Yeah. Okay, so low urine output and kidney problems, again, another deception. The first thing we're taught in medical school is if someone has low urine output and kidney problems, restrict their fluid. That actually throws them into kidney failure, throws them into dialysis, and just wipes them out. So the thing to do is to gently increase your urine and your water intake. That's number one. Number two, they've actually done studies. If you have low urine output, then your doctor might have you on what's called a kidney or renal diet. They've done studies showing that a whole food vegetarian diet is at least as effective, in other words, possibly more effective than the renal diet your doctor puts you on. So I'd recommend you get a copy of my cookbook recipes for help. And that was that would address that. As far as arthritis goes, it's critical because most of the arthritis medicines cause kidney failure. So if you have kidney failure, the last thing you want to do is rely on medicine for your arthritis relief. Now, as doctors, we're taught to tell you, don't worry. We've got dialysis here. Take these medicines, get rid of this arthritis pain, go on dialysis. Don't worry about it. That's what we're trying to do. I'm not sure that that's the right thing. I don't think that's the right thing to do. Okay, so that is it. I can find my outgoing music then. Good night, and I think we had a good show and found out something about arthritis.